Facebook is a strange place. When I first got started, I don't know, 10 or more years ago, I guess, it wasn't bad. I found some old high school classmates, found some, well, they weren't kids anymore, but kids from a youth group that we used to be in charge of, friends from different churches where we had served, and it was really pretty enjoyable. Got caught up on a lot of people, where they were, what was happening in their lives, and so it was really a lot of fun. But then it became a different place. You know, I don't really care what you're having for dinner. I'm sorry that your significant other is upset with you, but Facebook is not the place to broadcast it for everybody. I'm not really interested in seeing your kitty or your puppy sleeping. I'm not really impressed with your car or your truck or your boat or your motorcycle or anything else. I mean, I'd like to see your kids and your grandkids. You know, that's great, but your stuff, I'm really not interested. But then it got even worse because it became political. You know, my candidate is better than your candidate. My party is better than your party. My cause is better than yours. You know, what I'm interested in is, you know, the best and the most important, and you should be interested in this as well. And sometimes some of my quote-unquote friends would get rather nasty about things. So, well, Facebook is good in one way because it is easy and bloodless to unfriend someone. If you don't like what they're saying, you don't like how they're responding to things that you put on Facebook, you can just go in and get rid of them. Goodbye. Now, I know that none of this sounds very Christian, but like anything, things that maybe started out for good turn out to be used for bad or evil. And boy, the internet is certainly a place where you can see that. So as believers, we need to see what is good and what is evil, and we need to make the right choice. I know sometimes on Facebook I respond to things maybe in a way that I shouldn't, but I'm working at it, trying to get better, trying to stay out of the political realm. But sometimes it's not an easy task. So I think we all need a lot of prayer along that line. So let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks that you know our hearts. And Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. So, Father, help us to be wise in what we do in public. That, Lord, we call ourselves Christ followers, so people should be seeing Christ in us and nothing else. So, Lord, sometimes I know I need some help with that. So, Lord, I'm glad that you're ready, willing, and able to help me. So, Lord, just let me rely more on you and less on myself. Lean not on my own understanding, because my understanding quite often is off base, and yours never is. So, Father, as we look at your word today, Lord, help us to see just what you want us to see, hear what you want us to hear, and Lord, as you open up the scriptures to us through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So, I want to talk about something that really, I don't know, it just kind of seems like a no-brainer to me. And that is, go to church. Believers should not have to be told that. Going to church should be as natural as breathing. You know, if you don't go to church on Sunday or Saturday evening, maybe, your week just kind of gets out of sync. You know, you have trouble remembering what day of the week it is because you missed that anchor that was there on Sunday morning. And so, you know, you can't, at least I can't, get my bearings sometimes because of that, if we missed for whatever reason. So what does the Bible say about this topic? Well, we're probably going to first mention Exodus 20, verse 8, where it says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." But that's not the first time that the Sabbath is seen in Scripture. Exodus 16, 23 says this, "He," meaning Moses, "told them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy day set apart for the Lord.'" Okay, so he's talking about the Sabbath. So the Israelites would not be surprised to find that this was part of the Ten Commandments. And we know that the Sabbath had been being observed, or was supposed to be being observed, for some time already, by the time that it was written in stone. But notice what it said, a day of complete rest, not doing less. You know, if you normally work 12 hours a day, you only work 8 or 6 hours. No, not just slacking off. You know, you were gonna, you know, mow all the lawn, and you were gonna trim all the hedges, and you were gonna do everything, but you just mow the lawn, you don't do all that other stuff. Not getting caught up on things, you know, things that you weren't able to do the other 6 days. And so, you know, it's a good time to get caught up. And not a day spending fixing things. You know, most of us, especially if you're a homeowner, there's always something that needs to be fixed or tightened or, you know, made different in some way. And not even preparing for the next day's journeys. Complete rest. Why? Well, it says why. It's a holy day set apart for the Lord. It's not a day set apart for your convenience or your enjoyment, but a day set apart for the Lord. Resting. Okay, it told us to rest. But having time in prayer and thinking about the things that God has done for you, and you know how he has been a part of your life, exchanging stories of God's provision, and maybe most important is telling your children. And we'll go there a little bit deeper in a little bit, but first let's look at the adults a little more. Okay, as long as we're talking about the Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And this is verses 23 to 25. It says, "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Okay, not going to go into the second coming part of this today. But verse 25 is where I want to really focus. It says about the neglecting meeting together. Okay. We've all heard the excuses about not going to church. And as pastors, any of you, you know, you really hear it. You know, "Oh man, I was just running late, and you know, it just seemed like, you know, I wasn't going to get there until, you know, it was just time for the message, and you know, I missed all the other, and so, you know, I just stayed home." You know, and we just went into daylight savings time for those of you that do that. And, you know, "Oh, man, I didn't set my clocks ahead." And so, you know, I got friends visiting and family. And so, you know, they don't go to church. And so, you know, we decided to just, you know, get up whenever and have a leisurely breakfast and all. And so, you know, I didn't go. I had this terrible cough. You know, I'm better today on Monday. You know, I just seemed to have lost it Sunday afternoon. But no, that may be legitimate, especially with all this coronavirus stuff that's going on right now. But, you know, that one may be a legitimate excuse, depending on the person. If they have a cough every Sunday for a while, you know, something's not quite right. You know, the kids this morning, and just trying to get the kids ready, and, you know, they're running all over, and they're fighting with each other, and, you know, knocked over the milk, and, you know, everything was just going wrong. You know, I didn't come to church last Sunday because, you know, the pastor's on vacation, and, you know, I don't know anything about this person that was supposed to be speaking, or I did know this person that was supposed to be speaking, and I wasn't interested. And so, you know, that's why I didn't make it to church. Or, my daughter had soccer practice. You know, they got a really good team, and so they have some extra practices, and so they had practice, and so I couldn't make it. Or, you know, my son is in the play. He's got one of the lead roles, and they were going to have some extra practice, and, you know, just couldn't do it. You know, on my car, man, I've been having car problems, and I just couldn't make it because, you know, car wouldn't start. And, you know, it started at 11 o'clock, but it wouldn't start at, you know, 9:30. So I don't know. You know, man, the dishwasher, man, water was coming out all over the floor and everything. And again, this may be a legitimate excuse that something broke. Okay. Now, those are once, maybe twice a month excuses. Then there's the I don't go anymore excuses. You know, I just feel closer to the Lord when I'm out in my boat fishing. You know, out there, and, you know, it's so calm, and all, you know, gentle breeze, and just little ripples on the lake, and, you know, the fish biting, and, you know, just, well, I just really feel so close to the Lord. Or, you know, but out on the golf course, you know, you're out there with all these trees and nature and sand traps and all that. And so, you know, I just, I don't know. You know, I just feel closer to the Lord. I'm just sitting on my front porch and reading my Bible, you know, in my rocking chair. You know, I just, me and the Lord just so close, bonding together. And of course, there's a, you know, while I'm watching, you know, Joey, whoever, or this church, you know, downtown or whatever on TV, you know, or, you know, I'm listening to my Jimmy Swaggart or Pat Robinson cassette tapes, you know, and so it's just like going to church. Verse 25 in the Passion Translation says, "This is not a time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed a habit of doing." When we miss a Sunday now and then, for whatever reason, you know, sometimes a very legitimate reason, you know, that's understandable. You know, if you're sick, or, you know, you got to pick up Aunt Ethel from the airport or whatever. You know, I mean, there's legitimate excuses, or, you know, you're out of town. But if you miss Sunday, you know, maybe a couple times a month, well, it's time for the pastor and others to become concerned about, you know, this person that, you know, they used to be there all the time, and now, you know, there may be two Sundays a month, rarely three Sundays a month. So, you know, we've got to find out what's up. And those that form the habit of not going, Satan's got a hold of you. I don't need to go to that stuffy old church. You know, I mean, they play the organ, and, well, she plays the organ so slow when we sing. You know, I'm on verse 4, everybody else is on verse 3. And, you know, it's just, I don't need that. I don't need to go to the church. You know, they got guitars and they got drums and they got keyboards and they got all these people up there singing. It's really loud and they got, you know, smoke and all this stuff and wild lights. You know, I just don't need that. You know, I just, you know, I work hard all week and it's the only time I get to sleep in. Or, you know, I just love to fish. I love to play golf. You know, whatever it is, or, you know, that's when a lot of the sales start, you know, Sunday morning. And so, you know, I just need that time for me on Sunday. Well, we're made for fellowship. You know, people are made for fellowship. Christians are certainly made for fellowship. Well, how do I know that? Genesis chapter 2 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" And then it goes on to say, "But still there was no helper just right for him." So in verses 18 and the beginning of 20 is what I just read. So God made man and woman. Okay, let's back up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it.'" Okay, this is before the fall. Okay, so if Adam and Eve, if they hadn't blown it and got kicked out of the garden, God still wanted more of them. Okay, because before the fall, he said, "I want you to be fruitful and multiply. You know, there's plenty of room here in the garden, and I'd just love to have, you know, more and more of you." Okay, and so what that equals is fellowship. Hey, not good to be alone. Let us not neglect meeting together. Okay, there's strength in the body of Christ. Jesus had a circle of 12, the 12 disciples, and then he had an inner circle of three, you know, Peter, James, and John. You know, I mean, over and over you read about, you know, he took those three with him when he did different things. So why did Jesus do this? I mean, he was meeting with hundreds of people, thousands of people. And so why did he need these 12 people or these three people? One thing, example, okay? He did it to give us an example that even though we may be in a church of hundreds, a church of thousands, you know, we need an inner circle. And so we need that fellowship because we need to lean on each other. We need to gain strength from each other. All right, so let's move on a little bit in the book of Hebrews. And this may be a toughie for some, I don't know. Okay, this is Hebrews 13, 17. It says, "Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit." Okay, two really important parts of this. The first is you need to obey, and the second is they, your spiritual leaders, are accountable. Okay, so looking at the first part, the needing to obey, that's all on you. Okay, you're responsible. You know, I can't make you obey, and I can't obey for you or you for me. So, you know, that's all up to you. Okay, now you may be in a situation where you don't feel that your spiritual leader is leading in the right direction. So if you're alone in this, you know, everybody else seems to think that, you know, the messages are great and the direction the church is going is really good and you know, everything is just spot on. Maybe you need to check your heart. Maybe the problem is not the spiritual leaders. Maybe the problem is you. But if you still feel that they are wrong, maybe you need to be someplace else, okay? If you're not growing and gaining knowledge and wisdom on Sunday mornings, maybe you need to be in a a different church, a different body. Well, if a lot of people feel this way, you know, that things just aren't going right, maybe the trustees or deacons or committee or however it works in your church need to speak to the spiritual leader or leaders, and you know, it may be time for a change, because you know, that happens. You know, it happens in every church. I mean, some churches, you know, there's a pastor that's there for 30, 40 years and everything is fine. Sometimes a church has a pastor and after just a few years saying, this is just not working. You know, we need to do something different. And that happens as well. But now for the second part, as a spiritual leader, you are accountable to God for those that you lead. And you need to make sure that you're not leading in the wrong direction. James 3:1 tells us this, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach are judged more strictly." And reading that from the Message, that was New Living Translation, reading it from the Message, it says, "Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards." Okay? If you're not able or you're not capable of being accountable to God for those under you, maybe you're not in the place that you need to be. Okay? Because pastors, spiritual leaders, ministers, shepherds, whatever you want to call them, take a lot of responsibility for the flock. And they need to remember that, you know, they're going to be held accountable for what they do, what they say, how they lead, where they lead, and the direction of their leadership. Now, I said earlier that I would talk more about talking to our children about the Lord. There's a lot of scripture concerning this, much of it familiar. Okay, Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." King James, Message, "Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost." That pretty much spells it right out. Okay, either way you hear it, you are responsible for making sure your children are getting sound Bible teaching from you and from the church. You know, you need to find out what your kids are learning in Sunday school or in junior church, whatever it's called where you are. You know, are they having Bible lessons? You know, is there a teaching, you know, at their level? I know some smaller churches, this is kind of hard to do. You know, you're trying to do kindergarten through sixth grade in one class, and so it's hard to reach all of those different levels. You know, in bigger churches, you know, where you have a grade level for each one, you know, are they getting the lessons that they really need, or are they just watching videos? You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with maybe watching a video or part of a video at the end of the session, that a video that goes along with the lesson that you just had. But sometimes, you know, it's just the kids get dropped off and the video's playing and it's still playing, you know, when you go to pick them up. And you need to know, you know, are they learning about the Bible? Are they learning about Jesus? You know, you need to take apart and know what it is, because you, as a parent, will answer. Well, how do we know this? Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Okay, scripture needs to be a part of what you do all day long. When your children see this and when they hear it, it's going to stick with them. They'll see the importance of scripture in your life. So it should be important in theirs because they see that it's important in yours. You know, it's not just a Sunday morning for an hour or so. It's part of their life. So why is this so important? Psalm 127 is a psalm that's been coming at me all week long. From the New Living Translation, it says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is a man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates." Okay, a gift from the Lord, a reward from Him. That tells you why it is important to train up a child in the way they should go. Because you received this gift, and so you need to take good care of that gift. Okay, when somebody gives you a precious gift, you cherish it, you take care of it. You know, if it's a live gift, you know, you nurture it, you protect it, and you give it the best that you can. That is what God expects from us as parents. So what happens when these arrows become teenagers? You know, "Oh, Dad, you know, I can't go to church this morning because, you know, I've got practice." You know, or, "Yeah, it's just a bunch of nerds at church. You know, I'm just tired of those guys. You know, I'm really tired. You know, I just, oh, man, I can't get out of bed. I'm just so tired." You know, church is just for babies and old women. Well, a lot can come out of this. The Sunday morning practice part, excuse me, you as a parent should have known that before your child became involved in whatever this is that has Sunday morning practice. Okay, you find out when practices are, you find out if there's going to be stuff going on Sunday mornings. If it is, you say, "No, okay, I think we need to find an alternative to that." Something that is not going to meet on Sunday mornings. The excuse of, you know, "I'm just a bunch of nerds at church." They might be right, okay, in some ways. But maybe you're not in the right place. When you're finding a church, it has to meet the needs of the whole family, okay? You need to check out, you know, the grade levels for your kids. You know, are they getting the teaching that they need? You know, is it a, you know, a bunch of kids, or just, you know, your child and one other one, and the other one is the nerd? Certainly not your child. So you have to make sure that the church is going to meet the needs of the whole family. Excuse me. The next one, "Oh man, I'm just so tired. You know, I really need to sleep in this morning." Well, that's an easy one, because you just say, "I guess Saturday nights have to end earlier than what they have been." Excuse me. Church is for babies and old women. You may have to own this one as well. Husbands, fathers, what is the example that you're setting as a spiritual head of the house? You know, are you there every Sunday? Are you involved, you know, throughout the week, part of a small group, you know, working at things that the church is doing? So, you know, sometimes, you know, especially boys, you know, get the feeling that, you know, once I get to be a certain age, then I don't really have to worry about it because Dad goes to church once in a while, so I shouldn't have to go any more than Dad goes, you know, because I'm becoming a man like he is. And again, maybe you're in the wrong place. Are there kids your kids' ages? Are there active things for your kids to be involved in? But there's more to it than that. Going back to the Ten Commandments, you know, Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I've heard this interpreted as, if you don't obey your parents, you may not live too long. I don't think that's what God had in mind when he said you need to honor your parents so you'll live a long life. And I think part of this is on the parents as well, because you need to be worthy of your child's honor. You know, if you're disrespecting each other as husband and wife, you're disrespecting your children, they see that and they may not feel that you're too worthy of anybody's honor. So it's hard to honor someone that's not worthy of it. So this brings us to one last scripture, another that may be familiar. It's Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, New Living Translation. It says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is right. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth." Many of us Christian parents have referred to this from time to time. Said, you know, hey, see, it says right here, you're supposed to obey your parents because, you know, you belong to the Lord. And so, you know, you better listen to me because, you know, that's what God wants you to do. But we can't forget verse 4 that follows that. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." The message, it says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master." So all of this, you know, with your children is, you know, who's the adult? Who's the parent in this situation? Who's the one that should be, you know, making the decision? And sometimes it's hard to do. Now, our kids never questioned going to church. And you might say, well, yeah, they're the pastor's kids, and they knew that, you know, it was the law. They were expected to be there. And yeah, they were expected to be there. But I don't recall any time that one of them, you know, refused to go or fought going. I know our middle son, you know, when he was a junior, senior, he went to another church, which was fine with me because there wasn't anybody else his age there. And so, you know, he knew some kids from another church and went there. And so, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. But we need to know that as believers, that this is something that should just be common knowledge, just something that you just do. I mean, you go to church because, you know, you want to grow, you want to learn, you want to, you know, see what the Lord has for you. You want to be gaining strength from someone else or giving strength to someone else because of where you've been. So let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks for your word and how after hundreds of years, thousands of years, it's still there to guide us and direct us and correct us at times. And so, Lord, maybe sometimes we've been kind of lax in our church attendance, our church involvement, because, Lord, we can attend and really just do that, go and sit in a chair or a pew for an hour or so and go home and get back to life as we know it. And that's not what Sunday morning is meant to do. It's meant to be a time where we worship you, we give thanks to you, and we grow through the guidance of our spiritual leaders. So, Father, if we've been maybe fallen short, Lord, help us to get back on track, because that's what you want from us, and that's what you expect from us. And, Lord, I lift up those that, you know, have never made a commitment to you. Lord, those that don't know you as Lord and Savior. You know, and they may be going to church even on a regular basis, but, you know, that's all they've been doing. They really haven't gotten out of it what they need to, because what they need to get out of it is a relationship with you. And so, Father, I just lift them up and pray that this would be a time that they would begin that relationship, that they would realize that what they need more than anything is a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, to know that he died for their sins and that he rose from the dead and that he's coming back. And that we need to be ready when that happens, because we don't know when it's going to happen. You just tell us to be ready. And there's only one way, and that's through knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. In his name, amen.